roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's time for the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. And I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. Goz, how you doing on a Thursday, April 30th?
One more day closer to the normal in MMA. Getting fights back.
One more day?
Yeah, we're closer and closer to actual fight
card. More day closer to, yeah, I got you. I thought you thought that this was this Saturday. It's next Saturday. But you knew that. You just meant we're getting one day closer.
Just one more clip. One more day closer. Yeah, because then it starts stressing with fight week, right?
Right.
And fight week starts to play out. We don't know what that's going to be like, but we get closer to that day. I'm happy.
Yeah. I'm starting to stress less and less. I think it's going to happen. And now I just want the athletes to go in there, do their thing, and just like Brasilia, get home, quarantine yourself, or do whatever it is you need to do. You know, to get back to your families, enjoy the fruits of your labor, and that's that. And then we bring in the next bunch, and as that's happening, the world is also getting safer because maybe we continue observing whatever the state you're in mandates or country you're in mandates. Maybe we get closer to a vaccine. I don't know. But let us take you away from all that for the next 30 minutes or so. We'll talk about the latest news, including Goz. I want to go down a rabbit hole here. Cerrone and Stephen A. Smith, definitely want to cover that. Dana White and Halle Berry, they kind of teamed up. An unfortunate injury to a top lightweight. We'll discuss that as well. And, you know, all the latest bookings that are out there that have happened in the last 24, 48 hours since we saw you all on the Monday show. So buckle up, folks. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show coming at you. What's up, Junkie Nation? Check us out on Wednesdays for the month of April as we will be on Sportscaster, www.sportscaster.com. Check us out at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and we're going to give you an extra MMA Junkie Radio Show. Myself, Goz, and Max. That was a little shout out to DJ Tony from San Francisco coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he'd start off his calls and then let us know what particular song title he was thinking of as he introed himself.
I liked him as a caller because he had so much energy with every single call. And when you would meet him, you would never expect that guy. You'd picture this crazy, flashy guy to just be walking in. And in person, he's actually kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm. And like that.
He's gone.
Yeah. All right. Man, there's no other way to get to this other than to get to this. So, did you see Donald Cerrone did an interview with ESPN, and that resulted in Stephen A. Smith kind of coming out to Twitter kind of with a well type of deal. So, let me take you guys back to January. We did a great article there by Farah Hanoun. And the title of it is Donald Cerrone Reflects on Conor McGregor Loss. Donald showed up. Cowboy wasn't there. All right. So he does this interview. And frankly, Goz, I still don't even know that he wasn't there. The title, it's not Fada's fault. I'm not saying that. But if you read the article, I was thinking that Donald was going to say that I shouldn't have even fought, or I wasn't in the right frame of mind. No. And he goes on to explain, and I want to be real careful because I really like our new colleague, Farah. So I'm not trying to say, she's just quoting him. He got it wrong is what I'm saying. So he said a mental block that he admitted that has plagued him at some points in his career. He says, Donald showed up, Cowboy wasn't there. The wrong guy showed up. These are his quotes. Couldn't get going, couldn't get excited, couldn't get fired up, didn't want to be there. Biggest fight, all the attention, my time to shine. I didn't want to be there. It was crazy, man. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know how to change that, but it sucks, man. Sometimes I'm ready. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. Sometimes I get there and I'm like, man, quotes himself, I don't want to be there. So don't know. No idea. I don't know. I hear all this, right? As I hear all this, I'm still just awaiting more from like maybe what he was feeling on fight week or what his mind could have been on or whatever. It's going to sound like I'm picking on Cowboy, but this is just something that all the fighters go through. When they lose, they'll tell you about everything that, you know, kind of came up one way or another, whether it was the camp, throughout the 2 months, or this or that. And when they win, they say, man, I just got to put all that to the side and focus on the man in front of me because he's there to rip my head off. And I wasn't going to let that happen. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Give us some credit. We've been doing this for 13 years at least, going on the 14th. And it's just something that, so I'm going to go on a little bit here on a little tangent, but it's just something where, Cowboy, you're a good fighter, man. You've accomplished a lot in the sport. That wasn't it. All right. You are traditionally a slow starter. You fear nobody. You're getting paid well now. And the whole other conversation can be, do you guys still get your lion's share? I don't know, whatever. But I still think that later in the interview, he basically explains what happened. So I just think, you know, look, the guy that won, Connor, he just finished saying, oh, yeah, man, when I lost to Khabib, I was injured or some other bullshit. Who knows, man? You're all fucked up going in. You're all kind of injured and, you know, having mental issues about problems in life. I guess we're all doing that. It goes when you and I are going to the Mandalay Bay. We're probably thinking of shit, too. Right now, I'm thinking about tomorrow's rent, you know, like whatever. So anyway, now we come in, goes all the way to the bottom, and he says, when he came at me, he threw that big shot, and I shot in. I hit his hip bone. That's what started the whole thing. Then I grabbed a hold of him to get my bearings back, and he, like, did the jumping shoulder slam, which compounded the fog in my brain, and then I let it go, and he head kicked me, and so it was just like there was no time to regroup. Didn't we say that? Yeah. Remember we said that Connor went out and tried to break Masvidal's record. At least that's what it looked like. Cowboy did a great job of slipping it, so he was there. It's just that he actually ran into an overextending Connor who put so much into that punch. I think I said his knee or thigh, and I think he still got it wrong, but he was in the fight, so I'm not going to press that. But it looked more like knee or thigh, but he says hip, okay. But something with full force ran into him, and it's just like in tackle football, or every once in a while when you get your bell rung, sometimes you just run into the guy's thigh. If you didn't tackle him and he came into you, that could happen. It can happen in sparring, you know, or whatever. So he, at that point, he was basically in a foggy state. I think I mentioned he probably was concussed. And we're literally seconds into the fight, and now you got a killer in front of you in Conor McGregor, who's pretty efficient with the strikes. He lands the head kick, and it was on the money. The strikes that followed up were on the money. Of course you're leaving there fucked up. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Now, all that other stuff may be true, but he didn't really go on to cite any cases of what happened in Albuquerque or on the drive to Albuquerque or what could have been going on. No, Cowboy, actually, you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time with the whole hip thing. I mean, I would have liked to see them fight again when he missed. And then you kind of just push off, wink at each other, maybe touch gloves and go, whoa, you almost ripped my head off. You know, they kind of do that little sly dance. And then let's start again and let's see what happens. Maybe he still head kicks you. I don't know. But at that point in time, you were a concussed fighter and you didn't know what was coming at you. And again, you had a great fighter in front of you.
Yeah. I mean, when Stephen A. Smith said the things he said, I told you guys, I think I don't think everything he said was wrong. I think a lot of the average fans were probably thinking some of the things that he said. It's more the manner in which he said it. You know, he said some kind of disrespectful things, and I think he threw out the word that he quit. And it wasn't so much that he quit. It's just it wasn't the regular cowboy, right, that was going out there. He was having some problems. He still tried to win the fight. He tried. It just didn't work out his way. And that's going to happen in mixed martial arts. So I don't know that when fights just don't end up because they're the main event, don't end up being a barn burner, it doesn't mean they were book wronged, or it doesn't mean that a fighter quit or anything like that. It's just sometimes the sport's like that. Some days fighters are going to have good days. Some days they're going to have bad days. That's just kind of how it works. So for him to throw out the "I told you so," I don't know that that...
Donald gave him a lifeline
with that first paragraph. He did give him a little bit of a lifeline.
If Donald had just said, "Nah, man, didn't you see the fight? The guy ripped my head off. I slipped it and I ran into his hip bone and I was concussed. I was trying to get my bearings straight." Those shoulder shrugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I call it a slam. They kind of like, I think probably one poked him in the eye a little bit, which wasn't illegal. I'm not saying it's illegal, but you know, shoulders can be kind of bony a little bit and it can get in there into the eye socket. I remember he just kind of had that little problem. And then, boom, here comes the head kick. It was a great, great head kick. But that is what happened.
Yeah, you know? But everybody's gone to work and not wanted to be there. But you still finish your job. It was Conor McGregor. He was the reason why Donald Cerrone lost the fight. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
The way Stephen A. Smith talks, he makes it sound like Donald went in there and just almost threw a fight. He didn't do that. He didn't want to be there, but he still tried to win the fight. He still tried to amount some sort of offense. He just couldn't. He just got caught. Now, his emotions may have led to some of that, but I really don't think so. I think Conor just kind of caught him. He really did. If Conor put out a bad performance that night, or if Conor wasn't feeling too well, Cowboy could have won the fight, even feeling the way he felt.
Yeah, and Conor would have said something like, "I don't know, something wasn't there, it wasn't clicking."
Right.
Because these guys have these massive egos that it's kind of hard to go, "Man, that man just kicked my ass." Not too many of them say that, you know what I mean? But if you go and listen to them on Fight Week, what will they tell you? "Oh my God, I'm feeling great, I'm energized, I'm ready to do this." Once you say all that, you can't go back later and go, "Dude, the truth was my knee and blah, blah, blah." Because then we're forced to go to the other side and go, "Were you 100%? You know what I mean? Because you're taking away from that guy or gal's win. And, you know, like I say, if this was our 10th show, we'd go, "Well, maybe we'll find out as we cover more fighters and talk to more fighters after their fights and blah, blah, blah." But we've gone through so many of these that I just kind of see it. And so then what happens, like you said, goes, here comes Stephen A. Smith, goes to Twitter, kind of with that told you so theme, and he says, "I'm curious, so all you MMA folks, who I profoundly respect," he's already laying that because he knows MMA fans can come at him aggressively. "Am I off my rocker now? When you covered sports intimately as a reporter for a quarter century, you see things sometimes. I respect the hell out of Cowboy, but he just wasn't there that night." Now, let me tell you something. He threw that "I respect the hell out." He doesn't want these fighters. He knows he's going to be covering all of other ones. He doesn't want the fighters coming at me, so he's throwing this respect thing, blah, blah, blah. But he's still getting his shot in. He's right about one thing. He's covered sports intimately as a reporter for a quarter of a century and done it very well, especially basketball. Other sports, though, he can definitely talk about it. He can talk about the X's and O's. He can talk about contract situations and holdouts and management decisions and things like that. He's definitely upped his all-around game, and he's paid handsomely for it. I watch him. He's good. Okay. Boxing and MMA, he still has a ways to go. Now, Cowboy gave him that lifeline because Cowboy basically said, "So I wasn't all there, blah, blah, blah." And it kind of goes with a little bit of the theme that Stephen A. said. But like you said, goes, he said, "I'm quite disgusted." He was still on the whole, "Yeah, Cowboy didn't show." He missed the whole hip or knee or thigh landed, the effectiveness of the shoulder, maybe one of them even, you know, bugging out his eye, and then the beauty of the head kick landing on a concussed fighter. You know what I mean? And I think he still missed all that. And here, I'm just saying, two guys open their pie holes, and one guy, you know, they're both kind of trying to get themselves off the hook a little bit in different ways. But I'm sorry, I'm just not having it. And however many listeners we have, I just need to tell you, for you all to just keep an eye on that and make your own assessment. Go back and watch UFC 245. Didn't take that long, the main event. And then go back and listen to what Stephen A. Smith and put it all together. And I think you'll see this just all didn't jive, man. It didn't jive. Mm-hmm. And why it's being brought up again, I don't know. It takes away from McGregor's win. And I just think that Cerrone would have, everybody would still be, nobody thinks less of Cerrone for losing that fight. All right. Someone had to lose it. It's just that, I don't think he just needed to say I wasn't all there. And if you're going to tell us that, then I guess tell us, well, what happened leading into it? You know, I mean, and if it's personal, then okay. But he said all these things, and I think it was just to set up that finish. And that finish was just, you know.
He got a gift. You know, to have that fight was a gift against Conor McGregor. To make that amount of money is a gift. So to say that you weren't there when there were so many other guys that could have been there and given us a great fight, yeah, that kind of sucks to hear. But, you know, when it comes to this, I think both sides are kind of wrong and both sides are kind of right. Let's keep it real here. Like, sometimes we get on the fighters for being a little too sensitive to criticism, but MMA fans, MMA media, we can be the same way. And I think a lot of it has to do with who is this guy who has hardly covered the sport at all coming in here and laying opinions and saying this and saying that. A lot of people are just mad at that. They're not even looking at the facts or nothing. It's like I said, he said some things that actually kind of made sense. He just went about it wrong. He was very disrespectful in the way he said it. But some of the things he said were right, I thought.
Stephen A.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of touchy, a lot of sensitive people in the sport. Not me included. No, I don't know. I really try and like ground myself before I opine. And of course, maybe that leads to why I don't make $10 million a year like Stephen A. He'll just go out there and say, blah, 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 you know, and then hope that the next day when you watch it, you didn't catch the previous show.
Yeah, but
previous show, or you didn't hang on to his words, because they basically go over the same stuff kind of over and over again. And, you know, I think I feel bad for him and Max. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, okay, you're going to say black? Okay, cool, I'll say white. Mm-hmm. You're going to say the sky is gray? Okay, I'll say it's sunny, you know, like. Like, they're almost forced to. You know, every once in a while, they'll go, I agree. But then what would be the whole point of the show, I guess? Who knows?
You have a radio show where you can express your opinions. There are many video series, chats. There's a lot of ways that you can come on and tell the world how you feel about a particular incident. Fans, Twitter, Facebook, that's their show. That's when they get on and they do their show for 2-3 minutes, and they say, this is that, and they think the whole world is listening, and the whole world high-fiving them. They get addicted to that, and that's why, like, you have some of these conversations to a certain extent in person, but they're not this elaborate. It's because of social media that I think when something happens, everybody feels like it's time for my show, and I got to get on, and I got to blow things up. Like, this was unfortunate, but that's how MMA is. Every now and again, you're going to get this type of fight. Just because it's a main event doesn't mean it needs to be a great fight. Mike Tyson was involved in probably about 10 or 13 main events that were kind of duds in the sense that he went out there and obliterated the guy. It doesn't mean that the guy that was standing across from him in the ring didn't deserve to be there. He was just that good.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about this. If fans only knew, if you're really talented, if you have that eye, you can create a podcast. You can maybe become a media member at some point and express your feelings and make a career out of it. But do it in a way how whatever it is you're critiquing, what I'm trying to get at, I guess, is, for example, John Morgan was a fan. You and I were fans. He writes more. We talk more. I mean, he still talks, you know, and everything, but we were able to do something with it because at some point we were like, okay, let's fine-tune our game here and figure this out. We have an opportunity. I think a lot of fans don't realize they could have an opportunity, but they'd rather be fucking magpies on Twitter or Facebook saying this, saying that, and you can't be a magpie for that long. At some point, you fizzle out. You run your course. You know what I mean? And that's that. And you do have an opportunity, folks, in many ways to go out there and become serious, you know, a journalist or an educated fan, or maybe even move into radio or television if you're really, really that talented. So, you know, think about that the next time you want to forego it and just be the temporary clown, the temporary offender. They don't seem to last as long. And now get this, goes. Check out Dana White. He does a Ask Me Anything on Reddit. Question comes in. How confident are you that Khabib and Tony will fight at some point this year? Why does Dana say the following? Not very, he says. I'm afraid of what will happen next if we try to make that fight again. Okay, so he didn't really back it up with too much substance, as if to say, my physicians talked to him and one of them's hiding something, or I talked to Donald Trump and Russia's really locked. No, he just kind of almost said, like, this thing's jinxed. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? And a lot of fans are going to make something of that. But really, there was nothing to tell us why it shouldn't happen. What scares me about a comment like that is he already laying the groundwork for Khabib and Conor? Because why, if Tony wins, why shouldn't it happen? Is that his way of saying, I think Justin's going to win? Or is that his way of saying, when Khabib comes back, we're making Khabib and Conor regardless of Tony and Justin? Like, a smart fan will decipher through all that, and a dumb fan will say, oh, here we go. You know, someone's coming up on a contract. They're not going to re-sign them. Maybe one of those guys is hinting towards retirement. One of them's got a serious injury we don't know about. You know, all of a sudden the mind starts to wander this way. So we got the very dumb fan and the really smart fan, and they're both taking two different angles.
He can say that. There's no problem with that, as long as it's followed by some substance, why he believes that. And you're right, if he doesn't, the first thing people are going to do is jump on him and say, that's because you're setting something up with another cat, right? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, like, he always has to...
And just days ago, he said, the winner gets Khabib.
Yeah, give us a reason. Like, give us a reason why you feel that way. Because you're right, there's a couple of them, right? Maybe you think there's going to be injuries. Maybe you think Justin's going to win. There's a lot of reasons why, but you can't sell the public on we're doing things a certain way. Even though I believe that it's probably not going to work out that way. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
He's a powerful dude. And whatever he says, man, it has this trickle effect that is unlike any other in our sport. Maybe even combat sports altogether. I mean, I don't know. But the folks, this fight will happen in 2020. As long as they stay healthy. I haven't heard anything about... You're not going to let Tony Ferguson go if he wins. You're not going to let Khabib Nurmagomedov go if they win. And if they do, it's because they said something outrageous like, give me $10 million or I'm walking, or I'm never fighting. I don't know. It's going to be some hard-ass stance that I guess at some point you'd have to agree with them. By the way, I will tell you this. One reason why MMA fighters don't get paid as much is because MMA fights can go so quick. You know what I mean? Tony's fights, usually when you look at him, he's worth a lot of money because of, you know.
Justin, too.
Justin, too. Yeah, there's going to be blood and bruises and concussions and comebacks and KO, knockdowns and submission attempts. Like, do you just know the way these fights play out? They really, really go out there and perform. Mm-hmm. Guys like Tyson, like you said, or other big heavyweights, I mean, you're holding your breath for that one KO, and some people believe that that's worth a lot of money, like especially in boxing. I mean, with Mike Tyson, we knew, wow, he's cashing a $10 million check, but he's finishing the fight so quickly. And in the meantime, your De La Hoyas, your Chavez's, Durans and Leonards, they're going out there and doing 12-round fights, 11-round fights. You know what I mean? Where you knew you were going to see a lot of action for a long time. But with MMA, it's so tough to put a price on it. You know what I mean? Because
it's tough.
It can all end so quick. Of course, that's the power they were born with, and that's why they can do it. But I almost wish they could be paid for the fight after the fight and say, wow, that's a 60 and 60 fight. That's a 200 and 200 fight, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you negotiated before, and if you leave a dud, you still get paid.
I mean, I've always said
money, but Ferguson's worth a lot of money, man.
When it comes to boxing, there's it's all under the boxing umbrella, but you look at boxers and fighters, and you have that in boxing. Floyd Mayweather, a boxer, right? He's going to use all his skill set to stay as safe as possible, which is all part of boxing. But there's certain fighters that when they get hit, they all have a game plan, but they're going to adapt to it. And there's going to be a part of it where they're going to go off script because they're a fighter and they didn't like that, or they don't like that guy. And they're going to do probably some stupid things from time to time. There's guys that could do both. Hagler and Leonard, they could be boxers, great technique, but also fighters. Roberto Duran was a fighter. That dude went in with some strategy, and mechanically he was good. Hearns was probably like that too. But certain times and rounds when they'd get hit, they didn't give a crap. They would just start throwing. Let me go off
script here.
And we have that in MMA too.
Because this is a fascinating topic. Why did Mayweather make so much money on his fight?
Because he never lost. That was the problem. And he,
people were willing to pay
to see him lose.
If he could possibly lose that one particular fight. Whether they hated his persona or whether they just... You can only take so much of somebody constantly winning. And that goes to all sports. Whether it was a racial thing. Whether it was I hate little guy thing. Maybe you're... You know, you like the bigger guys. I don't know. But yeah. That's why I was going to say the same thing. That's why he got paid a lot of money, because you didn't want to miss the possibility of him losing and someone shutting his pie hole. Mm-hmm. And then for the ones that became Mayweather fans, you just love that ride of, you know, every couple times per year I get to show up and talk some shit and my boy's going to come through and maybe you make some money or whatever. There seems to be different reasons why a lot of people pay this money.
Yeah, but he's somewhat gone away. People don't talk about him very much. And as time goes by, it's going to get worse and worse. But the names that you still talk about are the guys that actually go out there. Like Tony Ferguson, he has losses on his record. Justin Gaethje has losses on his record. But it's not going to matter. We're still going to talk about them years from now because of the performances they gave. Everything they put on the line, the sacrifices they made, the chances they took.
Man, you're right.
That's what makes them fighters. Okay, there's going to be certain guys that are just going to kind of float away. If
Mayweather doesn't get talked about much.
He doesn't get talked about much because he didn't really leave you with anything other than the fact that he was undefeated.
He was playing that little game a little bit of, ooh, that guy's good. Let me get him now. Mm-hmm. Or that guy's over the hill. He lost his power. Now let me get him. Or this guy's easy. This guy wants to come over and we'll divide the country and make a lot of money. But
he's never
boxed before. So financially, he was a genius. We got to give him that. Building a fight, he was a genius. The whole HBO stuff and Showtime, which became Showtime later on in his career, genius stuff. So what was it called? What were those countdown shows called?
24/7?
24/7s, yeah. Like a lot of that really kind of started in his era. But the boxing match itself, okay. Tactically, yeah, he knows how to box, the sweet science, blah, blah. But I would say most people in that arena don't care that much about that. They want to see that and then the KO, which he did early in his career. I believe his first 26 fights, he had 21 KOs. Where'd that go? He went up in power. His hands became a little bit of a what am I saying here? Like a kryptonite, I guess. You know, it was him having so much, or him throwing his hands and trying to hurt you, he might break his hand and it could cause him to possibly lose a fight. There's a better word out there. I don't know what it is. But anyway, interesting. Kevin Lee, folks, is going under the knife to repair a torn ACL. Man, goes just a few years ago, this guy had a really nice trajectory. Luckily, he has youth on his side, but he had the ability to talk some game. He had the Masvidal incident, you know, the three-piece in a soda when he lit up Chiesa. So he had a little bit of that. Man, Kevin's a gangster. You watch the way he rolls. He had that. He had some wins. He had, a win streak. Good-looking kid. Good talker. Flashy. He had his Mercedes. It looked like this guy could be somebody that could maybe not necessarily replace Conor McGregor, but just become a star. You know what I mean? He's taken a couple hard losses. He's had a couple issues with cutting weight, a couple hard losses, and now this injury of the ACL. Surgery scheduled for today, actually. And he says a 6-month recovery and he'll be back. I've always heard it's 9 months, but Tony made it 5 recently. A few years ago, he came back in 5. And maybe Kevin can come back in 6. Cub said he was going to sit out pretty much all year. Mm-hmm. He's not in any hurry.
He wanted to make sure he didn't goof that up at all.
Mm-hmm. But he says here in this quote, it used to mean being out a year. They've gotten better with the technology and the physical therapy, so it might be sooner. I don't know. Look, right now, Kevin, and I know you could probably care less what I think, but we're in the middle of a pandemic, for one. I mean, he just fought, so he got a payday. He lost the fight to Charles Oliveira, but he still got a little bit of a payday. So right now, he would probably not be taking a fight anyway, at least for another few months. But man, it's a clusterfuck. You got Tony versus Justin. We're in the middle of Ramadan, so Habib's just off the grid anyway. Even if Russia opened its borders and said, private jet, where do you want to go? He can't go. He's observing Ramadan. Then he's got to recover from Ramadan for at least a month, and then he's got to do his camp. So he's not fighting until September. Let's just say everything goes well here. We get a winner between Ferguson and Gaethje. They're healthy. They fight in September. You still have the Conor McGregor wild card hanging out there somewhere, and you still got Oliveira, who beat you, Islam Makhachev, who's got a great winning streak going, Daniel Hooker, who just beat Paul Felder, Dustin Poirier, who's coming off the loss to Habib. So there's a lot of names up there. Take your time coming back. Let all these guys fight each other, and they'll be coming off L's. You know what I mean? And they won't factor in. And then when you come in, boom, maybe get 3 fights in a year and in 2021, and you're right back there, and you're still in your late 20s and ready to do some damage.
I thought after his last fight, didn't he say something along the lines of, I want to say a couple years off, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell changed in his head, because something like this is, he just needs to get away. He needs to rest. He needs to work on some things. He needs to figure out what it is he wants to do, because physically, that kid's got all the skills. His problem, I think, has been putting them all together at the same time.
He's only 27 years old, by the way. So, he has plenty of time. And he is caught, basically, he's a 55er who struggles to make weight. Kind of reminds him of Masvidal. But he's undersized at 170. Hmm. And yes, I'm going to be honest here. He'll give anyone hell for a round and a half, maybe even 2. But I'm not saying he becomes a shitty fighter. I'm just saying the energy bar, it just goes down in bigger blocks than other fighters once he passes into the third round. And we all know that when you're tired, you sometimes can make a mistake mentally, and the other guy can capitalize. So I would like to see him tighten up his game the same way Amanda Nunes did. We're not talking shit, Kev. Amanda Nunes had poor cardio, and she shored that up. And with the skills that she had, beast. You know what I mean? Kevin's got a really great, really formidable striking game that he's developed to go along with the wrestling mentality, to go along with the submission game. He's got to tighten up his submission defense. He's got to keep evolving his submission game. He's got to keep evolving his cardio. He's got to keep evolving his stand-up. But do you know how many wrestlers wish they could have his stand-up or his submission skills? You know, I think he just needs a ton. Tighten it all up. All right, let's finish with this, guys. It's a pretty cool contest that Dana White announced along with Halle Berry. It's to raise money for 4 different charities, and the winner's going to get a lot. So if you go to our front page, you'll see it. And I haven't heard this one. I've heard of, hey, you get to sit next to Dana. Hey, you get 2 first-class tickets. Hey, you get to stay in a hotel. I heard that a million times. But you know what he's telling them they can do? Come in and get a workout with Forrest Griffin and Valentina Shevchenko. Okay, cool. But then you get to sit in on that matchmaker meeting. And they said, pretty much as long as you don't you're not a lunatic, you know, and say to the death or whatever, you'll have a chance to put a fight together. That's pretty cool. Along with dinner with Halle Berry and hanging out with Halle Berry and going to the fights with Halle Berry. I mean, if you're 18 to 35 and you have those hormones that I remember I used to have, what more do you want, man?
I'm 100% against this. I think it's the dumbest idea ever to let somebody come in, match make a fight where they're not going to even pay attention to rankings, the belt, or anything that's going on, streaks with the fighter. Oh, wait, they already do that. Okay, I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
Oh, man, I was waiting for you to end because I was going to go, you big dummy, did you not read the article or what? All right, so it was a joke. That was a good one. You got me. Basically, it's called the allinchallenge.com, and it's just a bunch of famous people challenging each other to do stuff. But the good thing is it benefits a charity, which a lot of the other ones have benefited it as well. Remember there was the ice bucket challenge, and what was the other one? There was one other one.
I don't remember what it was, but I know what
you're talking about. The ice bucket was funny because you either had to do that or donate. It's like, well, if you really care about the charity, donate it. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of us just wanted to get dunked on, so we got dunked on.
It should have been like the ice bath or something. Then people would have donated.
Yeah, really. Little Jackie's in the video that we did. Okay. So, I gave you the link. You can be a matchmaker. This is where I was going to correct Goz, but Goz was just telling us a funny. He says, there is a process to matchmaking. What happens is there's four of us, Sean Shelby, McMaynard, Hunter Campbell, and me. So it's not this thing where I walk in and say, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing the other thing. It's a process. We argue, we fight. This ain't going to happen. We can't do this. We can't do that. So he says, look, in the end of the day, I think his way of protecting his company is you can't come in and say Connor and Habib to the death because he'll say, well, we don't do fights to the death, or we're in a contract dispute, or Ramadan, or Tony, or Gage. I don't know. So you can pitch it, and then they all talk about it. And I think if you come in with something very doable, then they'll make it happen. You'll get credit for it. But I just don't think you can come in and say, I'd love to see Benavidez and Ngannou at a catch weight. You know what I mean?
So you're saying if that person comes in and says, how about Habib and Connor? Dana's not going to go, what do you want from me? He said it. He won the contest.
I didn't think of that. He could say that, hey, it was for charity. The guy came in and we had a vote and, you know.
We all wanted to do something else, but this crazy person came in and did this.
This is hilarious because the funny thing is I wouldn't put it past Dana.
You never know.
You notice I didn't stop and go, shut up, go. Stop being dumb. I mean, yeah. Wow. See, Dana, that's what happens when you start to clown around every once in a while. And that's why we want it to be a playoff system, not a politics game. Just give us the contenders versus the contenders, the champions versus the contenders. And this whole, like, catering to this guy coming off a loss or he's an icon or whatever. Hey, look, every once in a while, but cool your heels. Let's get out of here, Ghost. Folks, we got the green light. So on Saturday, we'll be back with another simulation card. In fact, I got to build it right now. We also got a Leon Edwards interview coming up. You can see our work on the front page of MMA Junkie. Sometimes they put us down as George and Goes, or Gorgeous George and Brian, or Junkie Radio. If you click that, you'll see videos, video highlights. Shout out to Abby and Kenny for doing that work behind the scenes. They're awesome. And if you want to watch the whole extended video interviews, you can go to www.youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. In fact, Goz and I hosted a Q&A there at that same exact address. If you want to see it, it was yesterday. Covered a lot. Took some questions from people that were popping in the chat. Chatted with John Morgan, the moderator, the host. Anyway, back to the e-simulation card. So it'll be e-UFC 3. And it's Saturday at 8 Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We haven't built the card yet, so you know how to get at us if you want to maybe make a suggestion. And, yeah, it's going to be fun. And the following week is actually UFC 249. So like Goz said, we're inching one day every day, getting closer to the big day. We're going to bow out for now. Enjoy your Thursday, your weekend. Be safe out there. And whether you're indoors or out, be a champion.